Let's have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we pray as we look at these verses together now that you would open them up to us, that your Spirit would speak to us, Lord, in the very depths of our being. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that feeling of longing for a holiday? You know that feeling? Yeah, I can see a few definite nods. I normally get that feeling at the end of a holiday, longing for the next one. Or simply that feeling of, thank goodness it's Friday. Yeah, that thank goodness it's Friday feeling, sort of living for the weekend. Or a bigger, longer term feeling of, I wonder what it'll be like to be retired. Can't wait to pack it in and be retired and so on. Some of us know what that feels like, obviously. There's a reason that we feel like that. And it's not just tiredness or needing a break or hating the job that we're in if we do. There's a deeper reason, a reason beneath all those reasons why it is that we long for rest. Okay? And then do you know that feeling when the weekend finally comes or you're finally on holiday, okay, or at last you retire, that feeling that you get of restlessness. Even though it's time off, you're free to rest, but quite often we find rest isn't as easy as we expected, and there's a reason for that too, why we long for rest, but often we find ourselves restless when we get there, and our mind is still at work so often. Okay, over the last few weeks, what we've been saying is that the story of the Bible, starting in these early chapters, Genesis 1 and 2, has a particular shape. David, could you pop it on the screen for us, please? We've been coming back to this each week. The fact that the story of the Bible starts with creation. We've got a creator. We're people who have a maker. But pretty quickly, the story goes down into darkness, yeah? As the first human beings rejected God's will for them, and we've all walked in their footsteps. We've all walked away from God. Creation, sin. But God hasn't given up on us. He hasn't given up on us. He sent us a Savior. He sent us Jesus. And Jesus' life and death and burial and resurrection are the turning point of the story, the turning point of history. And now we look forward to the day when Jesus will return again, fully and finally, to set the world to rights. And there'll be a new creation. So creation, fall into sin, salvation, new creation, or as we've been putting it week by week, we made mess, mercy mend. We're made by a good God. We've made a mess of God's goodness. In his goodness, his response is mercy. And one day, thank goodness, he will mend everything as it's meant to be. And each week, we're taking a little bit of the beginning of the story, right at the beginning of the story, and following it through the whole storyline. So today, we're looking at the fact that when God made the world, he rested. Put that in the middle for us, David. And this is what I want to say. If we don't take seriously what's being said in that short little reading in beginning of Genesis chapter 2, it will deeply affect what kind of God we think God is. And that in turn will affect our own ability to rest, properly rest. And there's been no generation in history more restless than our own, more driven by activity and interruptions and 24-hour society and all that sort of stuff. What is God like? Is God restless? Is he a kind of slave master? After all, the Bible is full of commands, isn't it? Do this, don't do that, or at least that's our perception quite often. And so if you get to know this God, will life become one long, restless, exhausting drag? What's God like? Is he a kind of cosmic workaholic? The kind of boss, that kind of boss who makes all their colleagues feel guilty all the time because they work much harder than everyone else does. What is God like? What's God like? Genesis 2 verse 2, you've got that there. Genesis 2 verse 2 is a bit of an eye-opener. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Now, what I want to say is there's something surprising, something missing, and something wonderful about those words. There's something surprising, there's something missing, and there's something wonderful, okay? Here's the surprising thing. The surprising thing is that, just that God rested. What does that mean? Does it mean that God got tired? I mean, it can't mean that, can it? I mean, he has just accomplished the most wonderfully amazing thing. 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. That's enough of a job for anybody, isn't it, to have just accomplished. I painting a room or mowing the grass wears me out, okay? The heavens and the earth in all their vast array, that is a good week's work. But everything we know about God from the scriptures tells us that even that didn't tire him out. In Isaiah's words, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. So God didn't stop because he was tired. This isn't the rest of exhaustion. What it is the rest of triumph. The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array, and it's as if God shouts, I've done it. It's finished. And it's finished just the way that God wanted it. Remember, we've been noticing how carefully and artfully Genesis chapter 1 is put together. It's got those various repeated phrases all the way through it. And particularly this repeated phrase, after every day of creating, God makes something and he stands back and looks at it and he goes, it was good. Okay. Next day he makes something else, stands back, looks at it, it was good. It was good, it was good, it was good. Repeated again and again until you get to the final day when God makes men and women on day 6. And then the phrase changes. It doesn't say it was good, it says it was very good. And God has made things just the way he wants them to be. It's very good. And after that, he steps back in triumph and rests. Just like an artist who's painted a picture or a sculptor who adds the finishing touch, steps back and goes, it's done. It's just the way I wanted it to be. That is what God did at the end of creation. But there's something missing. Did you notice at the end of every day in chapter 1, there's another repeated phrase? Each day ends with these words, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And so on and so on, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. In other words, each day is brought to a close. Every day, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, until you get to the seventh day, the day God rested, and it's missing. It doesn't say it, and it stands out because it's been repeated each day. And then on the seventh day, there was evening and there was morning, the seventh day. Actually, it's not there. The seventh day doesn't have an ending. And that's the point. That day, the seventh day, was never supposed to end. God had made the world exactly as he wanted it to be, and it was supposed to be like that forever. God had finished. Now, there is something wonderful about that, because God has just created human beings, and he steps back from the whole vast array of creation, and he says, it's very good. I finished. It's a triumph. And this is the way it is going to be from now on, forever. And what's he saying about human beings? He's saying, you human beings, you are going to enjoy this the perfect way I have made it, now and forever. And that's what chapter 2 goes on to describe. It goes on to describe human beings beginning to make a home in the world the way that God intended it to be. And it's a home where God lives and walks with them. It's life with God, enjoying what God has achieved with him forever. In fact, at its deepest level, that is what the Bible means by rest. If you've tuned out, just tune back in now. This is the main point of what I'm saying, okay? Rest is when we enjoy what he has achieved and we enjoy it with him forever. Rest is when we enjoy what he has achieved, given to us, and we enjoy it with him forever. He created this, achieved this, finished this wonderful creation, and gave it to us, as it were. And we're to enjoy it with him forever. And that was God's intended state for everything. And that's the theme that runs through the Bible. That's what rest is supposed to be. God is always making that his intention, that we enjoy the world he has made with him forever. You remember the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments have in them a reminder of this, that this is what God always intended. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. So work 6 days and rest one. And having just read Genesis chapter 2, that fourth commandment ought to sound a little bit wrong or weedy to us. We ought to say to ourselves, what's gone wrong? What's gone wrong here? Rest one day? Joe, I thought you just said the seventh day didn't have an ending. God intended that the world would be the way it was, a place to be enjoyed with God as a gift to him endlessly like that. The seventh day doesn't have an ending. Why is it, when you get further on in the Bible, just like any other day then? Why is the world like this? The seventh day, the rest day, the Sabbath day, it begins, then it ends, and then it's Monday again. Okay? It does have an ending. That's our experience, isn't it? Back to work on Monday morning. And the answer is, the world is no longer the way it was intended to be. We were supposed to enjoy what God achieved and enjoy it with him forever, but we made a mess of it. Or at least Adam and Eve made a mess of it, and everyone else followed suit and walked in their footsteps, walked away from God. We do want to enjoy what God has achieved. Look at this wonderful world we live in. Look, I mean, you know, we can't believe the weather we're having, can we? And the forecast says it's like this for 2 weeks. Can't believe it's going to be like that. What a wonderful creation. We love to enjoy it, but in general, we love to enjoy it with God at least at arm's length. Enjoy it without him rather than with him. We've made a mess. And as a result, what was once a very good world is now in a million different ways a very bad world, a mess. And just think of that list of the Ten Commandments, where the command to rest one day in six comes. Think of what the other commandments say. They're a picture of the way the world is a mess. Don't murder. In God's original world, it was never meant to even be a possibility. Don't murder, adultery, theft, dishonesty, greed. And it's not that list of don'ts are there because God's a killjoy. They are the very things that make a very good world a very bad world. And here is the very striking thing. Think about this. God's command to take one day off to rest is in the same list as all those other things. In other words, in God's view, overworking, not resting, is as damaging to human beings and human relationships as murder, adultery, theft, dishonesty, greed. Why is it so serious? Why would God put that in the same list as all those other things? Why rest and why is it in the same list as all those properly bad things? And there might be various answers, but one of them is this, because your attitude to work and rest shows what or who you worship. Now that was blindingly obvious to the people to whom that commandment was first given. Do you remember when the people of Israel received the command to rest? It was just after they'd been rescued from Egypt. And what was life in Egypt like? Do you remember? They were slaves in Egypt. In fact, that's the point God makes in the commandment. If you've got the notice sheet, I printed it there. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. He says, remember, you were slaves. What was it like being a slave? You worked 24/7. Remember, you were slaves. Therefore, now you're not. Rest. In other words, when the Israelites took a day off every week, it was a declaration, it was a freedom. Every Saturday, they'd down tools and they'd go, do you remember? We couldn't do this in Egypt because we were slaves. But God changed our lives and freed us. And now we belong to him. And we are going to take this day off, and it is a declaration of freedom that we belong to God and we worship him now. And it still is a declaration of freedom when you take time off. When you rest, what you say, or what you should be saying, is, I refuse to be defined by my work. My work is not the most important thing about me. We often tend to think that it is, though, don't we? It's funny, isn't it? When we're chit-chatting with people, getting to know someone, one of the first things we try to find out about the other person is, what do you do for a living? We see work as a defining thing about understanding who someone is. What they do tells us who they are, or so we seem to think, because it's one of the first things we ask, which is why, presumably, so many surnames are work-related, yeah? Because identity is bound up with what you do. So Mr. Smith, presumably Mr. Smith's ancestors were blacksmiths at one stage, and he got his name from that. Or Mr. Farmer used to work the land. Mr. Constable, maybe he used to be a policeman. Mr. Dent used to bash things. Okay. Actually, my surname is a place surname, isn't it? So there's a village up north called Dent, because where we come from also defines who we are fundamentally. And the Bible says, Christian believer, Christian, none of those things are fundamental about you anymore. Who you are fundamentally is not where you come from, where you were brought up, or what you do for a living. You are a child of God, and that is the most important thing about you now. But these other things take such deep root in us that when we finally get to the weekend, or the holiday finally comes round, and we can rest, we find that we can't stop thinking about work. You had that experience too? Or yesterday took the kids to the beach, and Catherine's talking to me, and she's going, you're here, but you're not here. Where are you? And I'm mentally somewhere because doing something. You know that feeling? It's time to rest, but it's so hard to rest. So why is that? One of the reasons is because we let our work become too important to us. We let other things about us become too important to us. And for that reason, retirement, if I can just speak to those among us who may be approaching that or have got there already, retirement could be the spiritual making or breaking of you. Because faced with that question, what am I for? You could just go and find your identity in some other activity or pastime to fill those retirement years. Or you could stop and seriously ask the question, I've stopped doing one career, so now who am I? Am I going to be lost? Or am I going to just be an ex-doctor or an ex-teacher for the rest of my life? Or am I going to let God, going to let Jesus be the one who defines who I am? My life fundamentally is going to be about him, whether I'm working or retired or whatever it is. What are you for? You were made to enjoy all that God achieved and enjoy it with him forever. And that is what Jesus came to call us back to. Made mess, mercy. Given everything that we've just been saying, aren't Jesus' words striking? Do you remember these words? Let me read them out to you. Turn to them if you like. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse 28 on page 977. Matthew 11 on page 977. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, page 977. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus is reminding us that we were made to enjoy all God has achieved and to enjoy it with him forever. In fact, do you remember on the cross Jesus' words? He said, "It is finished," a kind of second cry of triumph. "I've done the work," he was saying. "I've done all that's necessary to restore the mess in the world to what it was meant to be. The consequence of sin is judgment and restlessness, if you like." In fact, do you remember those? There are some very old, haunting words from the Old Testament that say, "No rest for the wicked." And we use that phrase lightly now, don't we? Oh, wish I could put my feet up, but no rest for the wicked. But originally, they were very weighty words. Words saying that when sin gets into our lives, then there will be no rest for us. That is to say, we will be shut out from the life God always intended for us to enjoy with him forever. No rest for the wicked. The consequence of sin is that we don't get to enjoy God's perfect rest. But when Jesus cried from the cross, "It was finished," he was saying, "Look what I've achieved on your behalf. You can enjoy this rest now that you were always intended to enjoy with God, that seventh day, the world as it's meant to be. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Life with God as it's always meant to be. We taste it now, but we long for its fullness in the future. We don't have it now perfectly, but God will finally mend the restlessness that we have in our lives. There's a line in the letter of Hebrews in the New Testament says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." It's something we're still looking forward to. That is to say, we're still longing for it. That's the deep reason, I think, why we live for Fridays, or we long for holidays, or we even look forward for retirement, because we know that this isn't quite how it's meant to be. And we're hardwired for rest. But when Friday comes, and the holiday comes, and the retirement comes, it doesn't quite do it. It's often a bit of a letdown. And that's because the only person that can give true rest is Jesus. We taste it now, if we know him, and we look forward to its fullness in the future. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that what we do, where we come from, or whatever it is not the most fundamental thing about us. Which means if work isn't going well, or if I lose a job, whatever it is, then that is not a disaster in my life. Thank you, the most important thing about anyone is their relationship with you. So we thank you that Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We thank you for all Jesus has been and made and offered to us. For your glory. Amen.